up, guys? Welcome back. Happy New Year. Apologia TV. I'm Jeff. They call me the Ninja. That's the bear over there. And that's King Ginger.
Hey,
this is Apologia TV, and we're back. So,
first time in 3 months, there hasn't been a Christmas tree.
That's right.
There.
It is now clear back there, but we have a different...
It feels empty.
It does, but we have a different kind of tree.
Okay.
This will be the honorary Christmas tree for the remainder of the year, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah.
Just random.
Wow, that was just under the desk.
I have snacks under here, and I have this.
It's like Snoopy's doghouse.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's underneath.
All kinds of things are under there. So we're back, Apologia TV, excited about this new year where we're going to be able to just give a lot of really great content, great guests. We're going to try to do some movies this year, all for the glory of Jesus. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Maybe some new TV shows.
Some new TV shows, some cool stuff. So what you can do to get more content from Apologia Church, as the ministry of our church, is you can go to apologiaradio.com. It's spelled APOLOGIA, apologiaradio.com. You can become a member of our All Access. You can be a partner with us. You can get additional content, TV shows, after show, Apologia Academy, where you get trained in theology and apologetics. And you get to support the work and life of Apologia Church. And if you go to YouTube, we have lots of content on YouTube. You can subscribe to us at Apologia Church on YouTube. Let's do this. We have a lot of great stuff to do today on this show.
Yes.
We're going to talk about jail.
Yes.
We're going to talk
about... Happy New Year to you in jail.
We're going
to
talk about jail. We're going to talk about justice. And we're going to do that with Douglas Wilson. Mm-hmm. We had an interview with him in Moscow, Idaho. We're going to play some of that interview for you guys. But before we do... It was very cold. Before we do, I'd like to just do this today. Just interesting. I might date the show a little bit. But our president just did an executive order on guns. And which is, by the way, why we brought
the Christmas tree.
I call this Old Bessie. I actually just made that up.
Manly name.
I don't really have a name for her yet. But what's that? Ironsights. Oh yeah.
Old Ironsights.
I call this right here Ironsights. Trust the Ironsights. You can always trust Ironsights. Let's go ahead and play the scope. The scope is not always reliable. I'll do Ironsights. our president gave an executive action or order today on gun control, and go ahead and play the clip, and this is where our president tears up.
From every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day.
Why is that?
Yes, it does. It does happen on the streets of Chicago every day. And we need to talk about this because we all recognize as image bearers of God, as particularly as Christians, we have a reason to shed tears over image bearers of God dying. So
yes.
That's a Christian thing. That's a Christian worldview thing. We get to cry over image bearers of God dying. We get to cry out for injustice, and we get to condemn murder and those sorts of acts. But let's talk about this for a second. We talk about, from a biblical perspective, gun control. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in our nation.
Probably the strictest gun laws in the nation.
And it's one of the worst when it comes to gun violence.
Right.
So
because the criminals, they know how to follow the laws.
Yeah. Yeah, like we were talking earlier, like the gang members in Chicago that are like engaging in all this gun violence, like when the president went up today and gave like the executive order, were they like,
Oh man, Obama's crying.
They were excited.
Or were they like, hey, there's an executive action on guns? Were they like, oh man, this throws everything off.
Oh man, now I got to go and get a background check.
Yeah, turn them all in. It doesn't work.
Switching to a butcher knife.
Yeah, and that's the thing to talk about too, is when we talk about violence in America or in England or in any other nation, you know, when you look at the amount of violence and the level of deaths in terms of hammers, fists, and knives, the scale just drops.
Right.
Guns over here, and then hammers, fists, knives, you know, over on this side. Yeah. You're far outweighing over on this side. So the issue, though, from a Christian perspective, is never the object. It's not the knife. It's not the fork. It's not the
selfie stick.
It's not the selfie stick. It's not the gun. It's
murderers are going to murder.
Murderers are going to murder. And murder's going to murder. And they're going to do it because their heart is depraved, because Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, none who does good, none who seeks for God. And it says their feet are swift to shed blood. And so what's wrong with us is not guns. What's wrong with us is our hearts are fallen and we're depraved. And we need Jesus. We need to be reconciled to God. We need to have peace with God. We need a new heart. And all of this stuff that's happening right now in terms of gun control and these discussions, all these discussions really trying to deal with symptoms and deal with the externals. They're not dealing with the heart issue.
Right.
And here's the thing. The state is not God, and the state can't bring salvation to the world.
Right.
Right.
But, see, here's the thing. When you reject God as king, when you reject Jesus as king over you and over your nation, by the way, then all you have is a state as God. And the state as God tries to solve problems like gun violence in the only way that they can. Well, let's remove the object. And they forget the whole time that it's not the object doing the killing. It's the person behind the object.
I don't think there's really an interest in the gun legislation for helping people. I think it's a ploy to get a bigger state, too.
Sure it is.
Right.
So it's not like they're using the gun crimes as a motivator to create a bigger state. So it's not even really about safety.
Yeah. Mm. And let's also consider just the peculiar nature of the situation today. Here we have a president walking into a room surrounded by armed guards.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Talking about gun violence, which is really a hard issue, in a nation that is where it is at today because Christian ministers, the Black Robe Regimen, part of the Presbyterian Revolt, which is what England called the War for Independence, the Presbyterian Revolt. These pastors, the Black Robe Regimen, took off their black Genevan robes after preaching the gospel and preaching against injustice and tyranny to pick up arms to fight against a king, a country that had broken covenant with God and with them.
Tyrant.
And so here is the president of the United States of America, a nation that exists in the way that it does today because of Christians, particularly pastors, Presbyterian,
well,
and Baptist.
They were muskets.
Who had these sorts of instruments.
That's what Piers Morgan said.
Well, your shirt has a black robe.
That's not a musket.
Yes, it does. And so,
not a musket, Jeff.
So
it's a fancy musket.
It's a fancy musket. It's an updated musket. All right, guys. So we'll be back. We're going to talk more about justice and the Bible and jails and maybe some war on guns. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right.
That's how we do it.
Okay.
More with Apologia TV right after we come back. ApologiaRadio.com. So we have done a lot of shows on a biblical response to gun control, Christians and guns, and it really is, believe me, it's an important discussion to have because all of the stuff in the discussion intersects with the gospel issues.
Yes.
Like, well, why is this happening? Because people are murderous.
Right.
You know, and can you even talk about justice?
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor issues. Yeah. Those are all like gospel issues. So they all so it's a meaningful discussion. It really isn't a discussion you could just put on the side and say, I don't really have an opinion on that. Because it's like, well, wait a second. How are you going to answer the world when they ask questions about justice and whether or not people can have these and whether you can defend your family, your wife, your neighbor with a gun or fight even against a tyrannical government?
Yeah.
Like, our forefathers did.
Right.
And it is a gospel issue. The whole gun control issue is a gospel issue. And only Christians with the biblical worldview have the answer from God. But I will say, if you want to get more, go to ApologiaRadio.com. We've done some great shows on it. We even did a show reviewing Dr. Greg Bonson's debate on gun control he did, which was really, really good. If you Google search it, it is Guns, Bonson and Lady Bits. That's what you can do. But just quickly, and we're going to end on this here. In the Bible, there is protection for the person that kills a thief found breaking and entering in Exodus 22. verse 2. And so there's God allowing us self-defense, the right to defend your property and possessions and your family. In Judges 15, the story of Samson killing many Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Mm. He used a weapon. Luke 11:21.
Better outlaw those.
Better outlaw the jawbone of asses. Luke 11:21.
Can we say that?
We can, because it's a donkey.
Okay.
Okay. When right. a strong, it's in the Bible.
Okay.
Is this a Christian radio program?
It's in the inspired version.
It's the Christian radio program, right?
All right. I don't want any emails from network
we're
executives.
We're going to use biblical words here, and we're talking about donkeys.
Okay.
So Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. So here's Jesus speaking highly about a strong man who is armed, who keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. Nehemiah chapter 4, the builders of the wall armed themselves. Luke 22:36, where Jesus told his disciples to buy a sword. And so the point here is the Bible does give us, in pretty clear, decisive terms, the right to self-defense and for weapons. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
You look super happy now. Why are you so excited?
I'm good. Never mind.
Okay. So I don't know what's going on in his head right now. So let's do this now. Let's change gears here for a second. Let's move to a different discussion. So we were in Moscow, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
It was cold.
It was pretty cold.
It was snowy.
I was even cold.
You were even cold. And you snored awfully, yeah. awfully loud in colder
man.
Weather. Louder than
I was sick too.
Louder
I
than
do.
Normal. Yeah,
probably.
And we've been around the country together.
Yeah,
and it was at a different level. At that, I hit him.
Stepped it up a notch.
It was so bad, and I wasn't sleeping. I think where were we at? Were we in Salt Lake?
No, we were in Moscow. You? It was the night before we were supposed to leave. We were only getting like 3 hours of sleep anyway.
And I threw
every
the
time
pillow.
I fall asleep, I get hit with a pillow.
I actually hit him with a pillow. He was, I was like, I got to do it. I threw the pillow across the room and it hit him. And he goes, he stops. And he like, I was like, I don't know if he knew it was me. I don't know if he knew it was me. And the next morning, he was like, did you throw a pillow at me? I was like, yeah, I did.
Wow.
And then there was a time you almost kicked me in the middle of the night.
I apologize.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
It's all right. I'm just glad I wasn't next to you when you karate kicked the air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. What happened then? Someone like
you?
Like,
I don't know. All of a sudden I heard this in the middle of the day.
I jumped and I front kicked above my head or something like that. I thought someone was above me. So anyway,
yep,
this is what happens to us when we're traveling. Anyway, so we're in Moscow, Idaho when all this is taking place. All these things happened around this interview. And we sat with Douglas Wilson. And this was an interesting part of the interview I think you should hear. Douglas Wilson talking about jail.
There are currently in the United States about 1 million people incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're slaves.
The
Constitution prohibits slavery except for people who've been convicted of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1 million people locked up in dog kennels.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And we feel good about ourselves because we can drive to work and not see them working in the fields.
Yeah.
Because we have them locked up in a dog kennel.
Yeah.
Right? We're morally superior.
Mm-hmm.
And we have them there because some 19-year-old kid bought some pot.
Yeah.
Right?
Man, I love Doug Wilson. Goodness. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
It's
go
getting
ahead.
Good.
Okay. So
I love Darren's reaction. He's like,
yeah, woo!
dog kennels.
Yeah. And here...
But they're criminals, Jeff.
Yeah, well,
they
yeah.
They deserve to go to jail.
Well, this is what's interesting is you bring up a good point. Because
there's people watching this right now, and they've never thought about whether jail... is Christian or unchristian.
Long-term prison systems,
right.
They've
whether that's
never thought about
right.
that. I've never had that thought.
So can I, in answering that, can
and now
I,
he's saying, that guy, Doug Wilson, is saying that they're locked up like dog kennel, in a dog kennel, and they're slaves.
Yep. So let me answer that by saying how I began to rethink this as a Christian and look to the Word of God. I was driving one day, and I was listening to a lecture. And in the lecture, it was a lecture about the law of God. Like, mm-hmm. what does God say? What are his standards of justice? How does God deal with criminals in the Old Testament? Those sorts of things. Because God, I don't know if you knew this or not, but God actually tells us how to handle criminals in society.
Wow.
He actually does that. So the question that was asked in this lecture was, can you find me the prison system in the Old Testament? And I think I actually pulled my car over.
You're like, I'm going to find it.
No,
I know it's there.
Because it hit me because I've read the Old Testament a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, there's no long-term prison system in the Old Testament.
Mm.
It doesn't exist.
No.
But we have them. Yes. And so when someone says, well, what do I do with the criminals? Well, I think we should actually follow God's laws and standards of justice, his revealed word about what is just in terms of how to handle the thief, how to handle the rapist, how to handle the murderer, those sorts of things. We should look to his law. And so what you don't see in his law is somebody steals and then they are put into a jail cell for 15, 20 years and the victim maybe never gets paid back. And then the society is made victim by
exactly
paying
right.
into the tax system by coercion many times
right.
to pay for the crime of the thief. So now you have several victims, the victim who was victimized and stolen from, and you have now society that's also victimized to pay for the crime. There may never be any harmony brought there. The person may never be paid back, but they're in a jail cell. And you know what I thought was awesome? You guys tell me what you think about this, was that the reference point that Wilson gives here in terms of like the prison system and dog kennels, image bearers in a cage, the reference point he gave, and I loved it because it was risky, was a 19-year-old carrying pot.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Now, think about that.
Well,
because how do we, typically American conservative Christians, how do we generally think about that? Well, you belong in that kennel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You belong in jail.
Because you're carrying pot.
Right.
Yeah. Now, do we recognize that drug abuse is sin? Yeah,
yes.
It's sin and idolatry.
Right.
Our whole church began out of a drug and alcohol rehab facility. It's sin and idolatry. But does God actually prescribe in his word to cage an image bearer up in a jail cell because they were carrying drugs or using drugs? Is the problem going to be solved by incarceration? Do you actually stop people from being addicts because you put them in a cage? In many
right.
cases, you make them a worse addict because
right.
there's drugs in the prison system, and those people learn to be hardened criminals
right.
in the prison system.
Right.
And it's a gospel issue.
It is. Yep. And we have to look at that. These people are image bearers. And when we give justice to them, you can't separate justice without the character of God.
Right.
Right. So we can't make up what we believe is just. Throw someone in prison, make the taxpayers pay for their imprisonment for the rest of their lives, bring the taxpayers under debt and all this other stuff. And that would be just, when the Bible says that justice is essentially rewarding the victim for their, you know, it's not punishing the victim.
Yeah.
Right.
It's punishing the criminal and giving justice to the victim.
That's right.
And so
harmony.
Harmony, right. But in our system, and I have a story, I don't know how much time we have, but
30 seconds.
We'll save it for the next segment.
Okay. All right.
So and well Kat, and you got something to say to this real fast?
They get a hot and a cotton PBS.
That's right, hot and a cotton PBS.
What's the problem?
And the problem is that society is
PBS.
Who did nothing, who has nothing to do with the crime, is paying for the hot, the cot, and by the way, the PBS.
Yeah. TV.
TV.
Oh, the government channel.
Yeah, government channel.
They only get one channel? I think they get everything
here, I
now.
Think they get PBS and like Sesame Street, but Sesame Street's not. Well, no longer on PBS, but we have 10 seconds, so.
So we'll be back. We're going to talk more about slavery and jails and justice. Slavery, jails, and justice.
There you go.
That'll be the name of this episode.
Okay.
Apology of TV.
If so what is a philosophically devastating critique of your worldview, it is not a worldview you should hold on to any longer.
Virginia Tech, 2007.
So what?
32 children, kids, students are killed.
So what?
Andrea Yates, 2001, killed her 4 children.
So what?
No, we're not baby eaters.
So what?
It's a big, bad discussion, right?
It is.
Because it'll kick you in the teeth.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because if you can grant as a believer that, look, God has spoken, we have revelation from God where he's told us about himself, he's told us about the world and us and his law. If you grant all those things, then you have to come to terms with the fact that God has spoken on issues of justice and society. And you got to ask the question, like, do we believe that he cares about that? That it's meaningful to him
right.
today?
Right.
That it actually represents his holy character? And should we today, with Christ as King of Kings today, with all authority in heaven and on earth, should we have arbitrary standards of justice?
Right.
Should we just make it up as we go along? Should as Christians,
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Should we as Christians accept
that's a good guess.
Okay.
A humanistic and secular way of thinking in the area of justice and society and criminal justice laws, those sorts of things? Because, you know, these are real image bearers of God that are undergoing these, I think, cruelties. Like, let me just say it. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
I think it's awful. I think it's awful that you have people in jail today for drug possession in a cage.
Mm.
And that society is paying into that system when they did nothing. I had nothing to do with the guy who bought the pot. I have nothing to do with the guy who bought the...
But you're going
to
pay.
But I'm going to pay for it.
For his meals.
I'm going to pay for all of it.
For his TV.
And it's not right because, you see, I also worked as a chaplain at a drug and alcohol rehab facility for 4 years full time. And I can tell you right now, a lot of those people had even come directly out of jail into the rehab facility. Right. And I can tell you this right now. None of that jail time solved the problem of their addiction.
Right.
Zero. I can say, I can give you no instance of somebody that said, I am free and clear now, never going to use again because I just was in jail.
Right.
I had people, they were going back into jail after they were with me, and you know about this. They were going back into jail after meeting with me, and the only thing that had freed them was the fact that they came into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And now they had to go to jail with a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
When they were working daily with their pastor on new lives, and they were completely transformed. You know this. Mm-hmm. We were writing letters to judges, pleading with judges, please don't send them to jail. They're new. They're a believer now. Their life is transformed. Mm-hmm. They're being accountable. They're under our care. Please, Your Honor, show mercy and let them go. That's the kind of thing we were doing. And so it doesn't, you know, it's not a Christian way of thinking to say, well, take the image bearer of God, put him behind bars, and you solve the problem of drugs in our society. It's not the problem of the drugs. It's not the problem of the jail criminal system. It's a problem of the heart.
Yep.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I had an experience where after work one day, a guy came up to me and asked to use my phone, and I let him use it, and he ran off with it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I haven't told you this story.
Where did this happen?
No, I didn't.
This was in Virginia.
Okay.
Okay.
When? Like recently?
No, I thought that Virginia was for lovers.
When I was working in Virginia. What?
I thought Virginia was for lovers.
And thieves. So I record my phone calls and they automatically upload to my Dropbox. So I got to see where he called and it gave me the number.
That's awesome.
And it was his grandma. They called for a ride. So I said, hey, grandma, and I just want my phone back. I'm not going to press charges, anything, whatever. And so she gave me the number to his mom. His mom was mad at me for, why are you calling me? Like, whatever. And so, long story short, found his Facebook page through all of this.
You're a creeper, dude.
I know, dude. He sold it in a Facebook group.
What?
And so I printed all the stuff out, went to the police. The police arrested him at school. And I said, look, I don't want to press charges. I just want my phone back or get paid. Nope. Got to go to jail.
It's too late.
Too late. He's got to go to jail. And so in biblical system, see, so now I have to pay more money to keep him in jail.
That's right. That's
than the cost of my phone. My phone would only cost about a few a few hundred bucks. But now I have to pay thousands of dollars to the government system to keep him in prison.
Wow.
When, according to the Bible, if he didn't have my phone, all would have to happen is he would get to work for me. He'd get a job. I'm going to be a little bit Presbyterian, but he'd come under covenant in my house and he'd go to church and until everything was paid off and then he'd go free.
Or and, he could pay it back.
Or he could stay and keep working and get a career or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just imagine like,
well, and
how that would change lives.
And the thing about God's law is about harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's an issue of justice, it's about harmony.
Right.
It's not about simply punishment. It's about harmony in there. So if it has to do with theft, God has specific laws prescribed that relate to what kind of theft it was.
Yes.
And generally speaking, you're paying it back and then double, essentially. You know. But if it has to do with career stuff, your actual labor, then it's different because it has to do with what it took away from work and time.
Mm-hmm.
So God has specific prescribed things when it comes to how to pay back. However, when it comes to issues like rape, when it comes to issues like murder, harmony has to be brought there. And in God's law has a way of dealing with rapists that's different than we do.
Right.
Right.
We say incarcerate him for 75 years. God's law says, no, that's a death penalty.
You're going to pay for that.
And you're going to pay for that. you're going to pay for the rapist in jail. So also, if there's a murderer, well, God's law says that you deal with a death penalty. However, also, God's law also has prescriptions to protect people from false imprisonment and false witnesses. So, for example, God's law, you have to have at least two or three independent lines of witness, two or three independent lines of witness and testimony.
Right.
That's God's standard. But beyond that...
Explain the independent. What is that?
Well, you can't have people necessarily working together. You can't use the same line of evidence. You can't use the same line of evidence, say it's all based upon this one piece of evidence. You're going to have at least two or three independent lines of testimony. So, okay, for example, let's say you saw a person... comes in and says, well, I witnessed this person murdering that person. And it's one person as a witness, and it's just based upon their word.
Okay.
You can't simply incarcerate a person and give them the death penalty because one person says, I saw with my little eye.
But two people see it.
Two people see it, or you have two other lines of evidence. It could be a murder weapon. You know, so in today's standards, if we applied God's law, you could have two or three independent lines of testimony being video camera footage. You can have, you know what I'm saying? You can have the eyewitness testimony. Okay. You can have DNA evidence. Mm-hmm. And you could do so in a way where they have to all come together and be independent.
Okay.
But there's also protection in God's law in terms of witnesses. So if there's false witnesses, God's law says the way to protect people in the court is if you accuse someone of murder, you say, I saw it. But then it comes out you lied. It never really happened, and you made it up, then you would get under God's law the penalty that the person would have gotten, which protects God's, which protects people in court, because people know on the stand, you're not just going to get smacked.
No.
You're not going to jail.
No.
If you lie and you say there was rape or murder,
and then they die.
Yeah, you're getting the death penalty.
Right, because you're charged with murder.
Because you're charged with murder.
Wow.
And you would have committed murder. It was attempted murder.
Right.
Yeah.
It's attempted murder in the court.
But that's Old Testament.
Well, I would say read Psalm 119. Read the whole thing. It's a little chapter.
Oh, yeah?
It's a short one. It's a little chapter. It's Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about God's law and his standards. And I would say this. If Jesus is king now and has all authority in heaven and on earth now, and if the promise of the Old Testament was that the law would go forth from the people of God in Zion, Isaiah chapter 2, then we need to seriously consider what God's standards are in society. And if we love our neighbor, which is the fundamental bottom line of God's law, we will look to God's standards, because what is God's standard? Love God, love neighbor.
Yep.
So this has been Apologia TV once again. I know it was kind of a rambunctious episode.
Yeah,
but we will catch you guys next week on Apologia TV. Get more at apologiaradio.com. Don't forget to sign up for our all access at apologiaradio.com. That's Luke the Bear with Warfield.
B.B. Warfield.
B.B. Warfield on a shirt. He got that at missionalware.com, and that is King Ginger.
Oh, right.
He's wearing Star Wars. They don't have those at missionalware.com.
You got a Star Wars too.
Yes.
Yeah, we are all Star Wars today. You're right.
What is up with that?
That's right.
It must have been like a movie came out recently.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll catch you guys next time on Apologia TV. Thanks for joining us. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversation, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out.